Good afternoon, or good evening, or in fact, good morning if you're in another time zone. It's a great pleasure to have you here today. My name is Professor Chris Alden. I'm one of the directors of LSE Ideas, a foreign policy think tank, exploring and examining new ideas, new thoughts, new initiatives from around the globe. We're working today with colleagues and friends at the Policy Center for the New South out of Morocco, out of Rabat. Like ourselves, they're engaged in new thinking, new ideas, and examinations of the world from a research-based perspective. Today, we've collaborating to examine the topic of Morocco's new Africa policy and expanding economic links with continental Africa. Morocco's economic ties with the rest of the African continent have been expanding for quite a number of years. This transformation is one which has largely not been plotted, at least in the Anglophone and European world, and this is one of the reasons we want to examine this idea. According to the Moroccan Ministry of Finance, Morocco's trade with its Africa's partners has encouraged around 9.5% every year for the last two decades. What this has meant that is since 2007, a total of 47% of Moroccan FDI has been going abroad. So this is an important trend, and the African component of it is especially interesting, innovative, and significant. Today we have two speakers and a discussant, experts in their areas who can address this or help us address this question. Our first speaker will be Dr. Latifa El Bouadelaoui, a general director of the Islamic Center of Development and Trade. She was previously the director of international trade relations at the Ministry of Industry, Trade and Green Digital Economy of the Kingdom of Morocco from 2013. She's worked on a wide range of trade expertise, including developing trade policies, leading negotiations on trade agreements, implementing commercial and industrial cooperation projects, and worked also not only at the Ministry of Industry, Trade, Green and Digital Economy in the Kingdom of Morocco. She was a chief negotiator on a variety of trade-related matters. So she will be speaking first. She will be followed by Dr. Larabi Jaidi, who is the senior fellow on the Policy Center of the New South, who focuses on international economy, social development, international relations, and Mediterranean studies. Mr. Jaidi has also been a member of Morocco's Special Commission on the Development Model, headed by Morocco's ambassador to France, Shakib Aboumoussa. He's a former professor at Mohamed V University in Rabat, Agdal, and has expertise on economic policy, international economic relations, and the economy of the regions. He is also a founding member of the Center of Moroccan de Marocain de Conjecture and of the Groupement Etudes de Recherche sur la Méditerranée. He's a member of the research group of the Euro-Mediterranean Universities Network, advisor to the Prime Minister and to the Minister of Economic and Finance, and is an independent expert at the Moroccan Competitive Council and Moroccan Authority for the Fight Against Corruption. He holds a position on the board of the Abderim Bouadid Foundation and acts as a consultant. And of course, has many publications. And finally, our discussant will be Dr. Ana Alves, who is an assistant professor at the School of Humanities and Social Sciences at Nanyang Technical University in Singapore. She's a member of the Institut d'Orient in Lisbon, an associate researcher with the South African Institute of International Affairs. She's part of the advisory board of two journals. One is Portuguese Institute of International Relations and another on Advanced East-West Institute for Advanced Studies in Macau, and does work on foreign policy analysis, economic statecraft, South-South cooperation, in particular focusing on China's relations with developing areas and Africa with a special focus. And she's also done work on the China's relationship with Portuguese speaking countries, as well as Brazil's and other emerging powers' involvement in African relations. So without further ado, if I could ask the first speaker give us her view of this topic, Dr. Boadre.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Chris. I would like in the beginning to thank Policy Center for the New South and the University, London University, for inviting me and for organizing this important webinar. The subject is very interesting, and I'm going to deal in my presentation with two main points. First one, I will give an overview of Morocco's strategy for Africa, and the second point will be about CFTA, Continental Free Trade Area, a big project of African countries, a historical achievement for African countries, and the question is how these projects will impact national strategy. Concerning Morocco's strategy of Africa, I would like to remind that since its independence, Morocco has confirmed its African identity. Bilateral economic and trade cooperation has always been an important tool in Morocco's strategy toward African countries. And since 1916, after a large number of African countries became independent, Morocco has established a significant network of bilateral cooperation agreements with its African partners. These agreements have been significantly and strongly developed during the last 20 years under the leadership of His Majesty King Mohammed VI. During this period, His Majesty has given new impetus to the development of partnership between Morocco and other African countries, notably by making more visits to various African regions, about 46 visits to 25 countries. I also would like to highlight that Morocco's strategy for Africa is a result of a clear and constant vision of South-South cooperation, an integrated approach based in co-development, transfer of know-how, creation of value-added and jobs in all African countries. Regarding Morocco's FDAs in its sub-Saharan neighbors, the inclusive approach takes aim to link these investments with the economies of the host countries and target sectors where they can boost domestic investments, create quality jobs, and catalyze productive capacity. Moreover, the participation of Morocco expertise in supporting its investment projects will positively impact the know-how and technology transfer to African countries. Since 2000, Morocco has signed nearly 1,000 agreements with African countries in various fields of cooperation. These agreements take the form of trade agreements, investment promotion and protection agreements, double taxation conventions, and trade and tariff agreements, as well as industrial agreements that involve the private sector through investments. Morocco is mainly investing in various sectors. For example, financial services, telecommunication, transportation, industry, agriculture, and energy. And maybe Dr. Jaidi will give us more information and more details about these aspects. But let me show you some projects that represent the deepness, inclusivity, and sustainability of our strategy in Africa. The first example I want to share with you is in the field of energy. the Africa Atlantic Gas Pipeline Project, developed with Nigeria, Morocco, and Nigeria. This project will definitely transform the whole sub-region, the West Africa. This project will allow natural gas to be transported from Nigeria, country of production, to Europe, the market, final market. But more than that, this project will contribute to create a market of electricity in the region, to be an important source of energy of all countries of West of Africa, to help to develop industry, to improve economic competitiveness, to improve attractivity of investment, and to speed up social developments for all the region. Moreover, it will help build a peaceful bilateral and multilateral relations, and thus create an environment for development and for prosperity and growth for all the region, prosperity for people. The second example I want to give is the projects of fertilizer production. That have been, we have at least two projects in Africa that have been set up with both Ethiopia and Nigeria. These projects will benefit also whole the continent. They aim at improving agricultural productivity and promoting food security and rural development. The third example I want to share with you is about training. To support economic and social development in Africa countries, Morocco developed cooperation and training with many countries that enabling students from this country to continue their higher education in Morocco. And then to improve human resources in African countries. Lastly, I want to highlight that all these examples of projects confirm that Morocco is right to develop and implement African strategy. By doing so, Morocco has opted to share developments and its experience. In concrete terms, Morocco is contributing to build a prosper and solidarity-based future for our continent. To conclude this first part of my intervention, within the framework of clear-sighted collaboration, Morocco, which is a major economic player in Africa, is becoming a catalyst for shared expansion. Morocco is also assuming the right to impose its development model as African country. This is the conclusion of my first for my first point. The second point is about continental free trade area. This area was one of the best achievements of African countries last year. But before talking about that, I want to share some data information about Africa. Africa has a market of 1.5 billion people. It has a combined GDP of more than $2.5 trillion American dollars. The fastest growth economy in the world are in Africa. Africa, as we see, is the continent of the future with enormous opportunities for itself, but also for its partners from other countries. However, we regret to see that Africa is the least integrated region on the world. Intra-regional trade was 18% in 2019, while this rate is more than 15% for Europe, for Asia, and for America. This situation is due to structural challenges that Africa must address. Some example of these challenges: market fragmentation and smallness of national economies, overdependence on the export of raw materials and primary commodities, lack of export specialization, and lack underdeveloped industry, lack of regional value added, and high tariff and no tariff barriers intra Africa countries. In this regard, the CFTA, the free trade area, is a critical response to Africa's development challenges. In this area, if this area is effectively implemented, it will enable Africa to significantly boost intra-Africa trade, improve economies of scale, and to establish an integrated market. It will be a catalyst for industrial development, placing Africa on a path to exporting value-added products, improving Africa's competitiveness, both in its own markets and globally. It also sends a strong signal to all the world that Africa is open for business, based on a clear and transparent rule for trade and for investment. If this agreement is effectively implemented by all countries, and if all countries and African Union and other regional organizations make the necessary for that, this agreement that not benefit only the big corporation on the African continent and foreign countries, but it should always be inclusive of youth, women, and SMEs. By developing regional value chains and to connect these value chains to global economy. For Morocco, this area is perfectly aligned with our strategy. And Moroccan authorities will make all necessary, they will do what they have to do to implement this area as soon as possible, benefit of all enterprises, Moroccan and African, population, women, youth, and micro, medium, and small companies. This is the end of my second point. I thank you for your time, and I'm here to ask if you have any question. I will be happy to answer them. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. That was great. That gave us a fantastic introduction to the topic and to the themes. What I thought we would do is go through each of the presentations, and then we'll have Q&A at the end. So the audience will, we've already got a few questions coming in, so we will pick it up from there. Now, if I could turn to our next speaker, Dr. Jaidi, if you would take the floor, please. Thank you. I think you're muted still, actually.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you, Mr. Chris Alden. My contribution to this panel is to present 4 points for the discussion. The first point is about trade relation between Morocco and Africa in the last 20 years. The evolution of this trade and what we can take some conclusion about the tendencies. The second point is how can we evaluate the presence of Moroccan companies in Africa. what are their strategy and what are their impact in the development of the relation between Morocco and Africa. The third point is a question: can we really consider that Moroccan banks played an important role in consolidating this presence of the Moroccan companies in the continent? And the fourth point is another question: can Morocco, under its recent experience, be considered as a gateway to business in Africa and to promote triangular relations? And I will conclude my intervention with by some conclusive points on the requirements to consolidate Morocco's economic position in Africa. So for the first point about trade relations, the main idea is, I think, that these trade relations are under their potential. Between the beginning of this century and 2020, Morocco's trade exchange with the African sub-Saharan countries improved significantly. But this trade exchange with the African partners of Morocco are now in surplus. But despite the progress, bilateral trade between Morocco and other African countries is still below average, given its potential, I mean, and given also existing business opportunity. Morocco's bilateral exchange intensity with its African partners reproduces the same setup characterizing South-South exchange. I mean that it is a concentrated trade on some countries or on some products. And important opportunities to export to this region exist. The weakness in trade activity is due to problems of adjustment of the national productive apparatus to the specificities of the African market. And Moroccan enterprises should privilege a penetration strategy based on cost leadership that could give access to mass production or low or medium quality. So it is, I think, necessary to clear the structural constraints, institutional, political, and logistical constraints that hinder the expansion of trade with these countries, so we can enlarge Morocco's exchange map and diversify the source of growth of trade relation with the African countries. I agree that the African free trade area give an opportunity or a potential to develop the volume and to diversify relation between Morocco and other countries of Africa. But the African free trade area has been adopted by it, but it requires the government to take action. I mean that Morocco, until today, had not yet endorsed the deal by ratification of the treaty. And There is no huge challenge to get it through parliament, but we are in a situation where the deal is not really endorsed. Because there is also some factors hindering exchange between Morocco and the other countries of Africa. Protectionist, non-tariff measures, such as certificates of import, quality controls that sometimes imposed on importation in a discriminatory manner. We have also the multiplicity of fiscal regimes in the countries of the region. And the situation increased the cost of foreign exchange transactions. We have also some structural problems related to transport infrastructure and the information deficit on the business opportunities in this country. The second point about FDI Moroccan direct investment in the continent. We observe that in a cumulative value, we have developed our capacity to invest in the continent. And the Moroccan companies are present actually in more than 44 African countries. These flows are addressed mainly to West Africa countries, with an average of 15%, followed by North Africa and Central Africa, 25% and 50%. And Southern Africa is a very small part of this contribution of the FDI in Morocco in Africa, about 5%. This relation started with the exports, imports, and trade approach in the beginning. And with the countries clustered at the geographical and cultural levels, Maghreb, West Africa, South Africa in the beginning. But these relations been consolidated over the years by adopting a pragmatic and a progressive approach. And Morocco opened up to new regions in the continent, of the continent, on the occasion of the royal tours, and in particular in East Africa and Southern Africa. So investments were launched in many sectors of industry, health services, telecommunication and digital, financial services, construction industry, and construction industry have grown in importance and were followed now by agricultural and agriculture food sectors, etc. So Morocco is much prized in Africa. The country's investment in sub-Saharan Africa is still timid now. What about the presence of Moroccan companies in Africa? Recently, we have learned some interesting observation in a survey conducted by French Development Agency, IFD, and the Department of Economic Studies and Financial Forecast of the Moroccan Ministry of Economy and Finance. And this survey concluded that expansion in Africa is often the result of opportunities that Moroccan companies have seized, from sporadic to expanded relation. Various factors underlie the development of Moroccan companies in Africa. The growth of the economy in many countries of Africa, it is a source of opportunities. growth of middle classes, access to raw materials, and so on. And the market potential and accessibility, as well as political stability, are the main criteria for selecting the targeted countries by the companies. And the establishment of Moroccan companies in Africa follows an incremental approach, export and project contracts at the first stage. And after, we develop business alliances and partnership as act of accelerated growth. So expansion in Africa involves specific risk, as you say, risk that are managed through preventive measure, risk covered through the Moroccan Export Insurance Corporation. About the third point of Morocco banks, we know that Moroccan banks is a vast network, has a vast network in African continent. We know that Moroccan banking sector is relatively large, well-developed, and remain sound overall. And banks, Moroccan banks, have built a vast network on African continent in recent years. The international activity of the three largest banks of Morocco is estimated about one-fifth of the total consolidated assets. It is important. And the three pan-African Moroccan banks have a systematic presence in several African countries. And these three largest Moroccan banks expanded rapidly in these countries, mainly by acquiring previously existing banking group, French banking group. Morocco has benefited also from a privileged geostrategic position at the crossroads of Europe, Africa, and the Arab world, and from its resilience to economic slowdowns during the global financial crisis. So the financial expansion of the Moroccan banks went in parallel with increasing trade flows and the expansion of Moroccan companies in Africa. The activity of Morocco's banks outside the kingdom's border is generally decelerating, according to the recent report of the Moroccan Central Bank. This is due to a slowdown in some countries and in international regulations that modify the evaluation of financial results. And the three Moroccan groups focused on strengthening equity capital to better manage risks, particularly in a handful of African countries. The growth in deposits collected by this bank also slowed down, and no performing loans carried by foreign subsidiaries amount to 15 billion dirham. The Moroccan bank, Central Bank has played a major role guiding and supervising the expansion and aiming to make Morocco an international financial hub will ensuring appropriate risk control. And I think that bilateral memoranda of understanding have been signed with most of the host countries in which Moroccan banks are present. The last question is, can Morocco be a gateway to business in Africa? Africa's rich endowment of natural resources, you know. Morocco provides a potential solution to face the risk in the continent, because Morocco is a bastion of stability on the doorstep of an often turbulent continent, and it is also a rising economic power, and its economic and commercial links across the continent and contribution to regional political stability and security, make it especially attractive portal for investment and a significant partner of Africa. I think that Morocco is geographically well suited to serve as portal to Africa. He played an important role in preparing the ground for the country's re-engagement with Africa. And due to its proximity to Europe, the Middle East, and sub-Saharan Africa, I think that Moroccan society is also a confluence of those cultures. And he has a unique situation. So I think that the question of infrastructure modernization was now the main objective of the development of Africa. See the new partnership for Africa's development, and regarded as an essential vector for economic growth, infrastructure development is a prerequisite to close the existing gap between sub-Saharan Africa and emerging countries. In the face of insufficient aid, I think that private foreign investment is necessary. And in this regard, Morocco could play an important role in triangular cooperation designed to channel international aid to finance infrastructure projects in Africa. I think it is possible. So for the conclusion, what are the requirements to consolidate Morocco's economic position in Africa and its potential role as a gateway? I think that Morocco can play a prominent role in terms of technical, cultural assistance and share its expertise in various domains. So it is essential to consolidate institutional dialogue, private enterprise partnership, bilateral institution cooperation, technical exchange between vocational training, organization and public enterprises, to consolidate also cooperation in the field of education and development research and vocational training. It is also vital to consolidate cooperation ties between chambers of commerce and both parties to revive non-governmental trade diplomacy. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you so much. That gave us a wonderfully detailed understanding of Moroccan policy towards Africa, the areas, the economic areas of where growth has occurred and some of the key questions too. Thanks very much. May I turn to Dr. Alves for discussion? Thank you.
Hi, good evening. Good evening from Singapore. I suppose the majority of you are in the other side of the planet. It's either good morning or good afternoon. I would like to thank the two presenters for their very insightful views into the topic we're discussing here today. I must say it's a topic that I'm not a special, like most of the audience, I guess. I've read about it, I've an interest on it, but I do not consider myself to be a specialist. But I've been observing for a long time how African development issues, and particularly how other players can play intervene, engage with the continent in terms of development, helping African countries provide to their own development. And it's with great interest that I see that Morocco is now willing, another African country that is willing to actually play a leading role in this regard and not leave it to the outside players. So I will start with Latifa's presentation. So Latifa's presentation gave us sort of an overview of Morocco's strategy for Africa and sort of what have been the achievements so far, what are the intentions behind it, the motivations and sort of a roadmap to achieve that. So I find it particularly insightful, sort of the background and in terms of the Morocco's evolution in terms of the partnerships with the African, other African countries, the variety of agreements, and especially the fact that those three areas which Latifa highlighted, which were unknown to me, where they have procured special agreements or special cooperation projects or pursued special cooperation projects with some countries, namely in the energy sector with Nigeria for hoping to create an energy market in the region, which makes total sense to me, and it's a very important goal, I believe, for that region. Also, in terms of the fertilizer production, the cooperation that's established with Ethiopia, Nigeria, and also the role that this, particularly because the role that this can play in providing for Africa's own security, food security. And last but not least, also an area that which is very important for sub-Saharan Africa, the training especially for young people, and the role that Morocco is trying to perform in this regard by attracting sub-Saharan African students to its universities. I have a few questions just to kickstart the debate in with regards to your presentation. Just maybe not so much questions, but hints to perhaps detail a bit more some of your points. And I'd like to start with the one on the training of African students. I'd like to hear a bit more about what planning, what strategizing has gone into this from the part of the governments, if you're aware of it. I suppose this is not your particular area of interest. You're more into trade, but just curious to see if there are any particular strategies or plans that are being rolled out or still in planning for this regard, and how they're going to attract, if they're going to give scholarships, what is the strategy behind this. Also, you mentioned at some point technology transfer, that this is one of the sectors that Morocco hopes to play a big role. And I was just a little curious as to what sectors in particular is Morocco interested in playing a role in technology transfer that could be useful for sub-Saharan African countries? And also one other thing that you mentioned that I'm really, really interested in, because that touches more of my research interest is about the Moroccan development model. That you mentioned that Morocco is also behind all this, is also an attempt to disseminate the Moroccan industrialization model, which obviously is working very well for the country. I just wanted to know if you can expand a bit more about what is this Moroccan development model. What is the matrix? What are the main lessons, if you will, that can be extracted from here and potentially be transferred or transplanted or adjusted to other contexts in the sub-Saharan region? Okay, so I'll leave it there as the questions for Latifa, and I'll move on to Larabi Jaidi now, which I also thought it was a very, very interesting presentation as well, focusing on four main points: on how trade has evolved with the region, what's the major trends, then sort of giving us an overview also of the presence of Moroccan companies in Africa, the various strategies and how far they've gone, the role of the banks in consolidating that strategy, which I found was something very interesting, that I can see, for instance, in other players such as China, also the Chinese policy banks particularly playing a big role in supporting financially their companies in entering the African markets. And last but not least, the point that you made on situating or how that geographic, that particular geographic positioning of Morocco can work well for it to become a gateway to Africa and promote triangular relations. That was, I think, a very important point there. In terms of the questions, I have three main questions to start with. First one, with regards to the companies that you mentioned that are pretty much spread all over the continent, even though more concentrated in the Western area and less with a minimal presence in Southern Africa. I was curious to find out a little more about what are the major obstacles. Why are the reason why there is so little presence in that part of sub-Saharan Africa in the southern region? This is also something I live in South Africa in the past, and I visited Morocco at some point while I was there, and it was a bit of a mission to get from Johannesburg to Rabat because there was no direct flights. So I suppose that will be one of the issues. But I would like to hear more, a little more about why is this reason? Why is there so little presence of Morocco in the southern part of the continent? And whether there are any strategies, any thinking around this to change that situation? Or if not, there's no plans, there are no strategies, what do you think could help promote the presence of Moroccan companies in that region? Also, while you were talking about the banks and their role in promoting the business and expanding the Moroccan interests in the region, I was also thinking about what more can the government in Morocco do to promote, to support the expansion of its companies, be it private companies or state companies, to overcome some of the limitations that you mentioned in the African market in terms of cost transactions, in terms of the exchange rates, all that. Because I'm raising that question because I know as well, for instance, China has tried one way, in addition to the banks providing financial support, one way China has been trying to reduce those cost transactions is by signing with some of these countries agreements for direct transactions, for not using the dollar, but transact directly in yuan. So that's, I don't know if this is something that is in planning or has been raised already, but I would like to hear a little bit more if you are aware of it or if you have any thoughts on this. What more could the government do to support the companies to overcome these structural limitations of the African market? And the last question regarding the infrastructure, I thought you made a very interesting point, a very important point about how Morocco could potentially play an important role in triangulating all the interests that converge now on the continent. And particularly with regards to hard infrastructure provision to overcome one of the main structural deficiencies, which is transport infrastructure connecting the continent in order to promote intra-regional trade. Does Morocco has any strategies on how to engage prominent players in that field like China? For instance, China has become in over the past two decades a major player in the infrastructure sector in Morocco. And I've seen also that when comparing the presence of Chinese engagement in infrastructure, it's much more visible in sub-Saharan Africa than it is in Northern African countries. And I would just like to know a little bit more about if you have done any thoughts around how China, how Morocco could sort of tap into this market where China is already a big presence, whether it can play that triangulating role or if the competition is too far gone at this stage. Okay, and I'll end it there. I'll leave it there. And I'll have a few more questions if I have an opportunity, but I think first we're going to go to the audience. And I believe Chris has also one or two questions that he would like to raise. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Wonderful. I think wonderful set of questions to the presenters, and I think let's give the presenters the right of response, and we will start with Latifa, and then once she's done, to Larabi. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Anna, for your questions. Concerning the first question about training, you ask me how Morocco ensure cooperation on training between African with African countries. This is a strategic choice for Morocco very important acts in its strategy for Africa. This cooperation is setting up through bilateral agreements between Morocco and other African countries, and Morocco offer every year thousands of scholarships to African students, and public, especially public universities and schools and institutes in Morocco, receive every year hundreds of African students. About 12,000 every year of for public universities, universities, and there is also some private universities and schools that also offer possibility to African students to make their high degree in Morocco. The second question you ask me is about transfer of technology and know how to African people. This is the result of our approach, our inclusive approach based on solidarity and cooperation between Moroccan and African. And as I said in my presentation, Moroccan companies, when they invest in Africa, they ensure that sectors in which they invest are sectors are important for host country, and they ensure also that these investments create quality jobs and create value added in the host country. And by this process, this inclusivity, they ensure transfer of know-how and transfer of technology in sectors on which they invest, finance, telecommunication, some sector of industry also. The last question you asked me is about Morocco model for Africa. Morocco model is what I present in my in the beginning, a strategy based in cooperation, based in inclusivity, based in sustainability of the cooperation, based on sectors that are sense for African countries, creation on value added in these African countries, share of prosperity, share of benefits, share of experiences. This is what I mean by Morocco model. This is only one part of Morocco model of development. I think that Mr. Jaidi is more qualified to talk about that. He was in the commission of Morocco model of development, and in this Morocco model, there is Africa is present, and I believe that the component of Africa model of Africa Morocco Morocco model of development is inclusivity, sustainability, prosperity for all, share of experience, share of development, value added insight of Africa, creation of value added, but value added that can be linked to global value added. This is, in my view, African Morocco model for Africa.
Thank you very much. I think very comprehensive response. And now if Laura B.
Yes, thank you for your question. For the first one about the presence of the Moroccan companies in Africa and what are the reasons that they had a preference for the proximity and then to look for the implantation in East of Africa or South of Africa. I think that it is an heritage of the past. You know that Morocco has also always commercial relation with Senegal, Mali, Ivory Coast, the French area of Africa in West Africa. And these traditional relations has created what we name in French as a zone of comfort, une zone de confort. Une zone de confort, I think that it means in English, it is comfortable to go in the areas where we have traditional relations, sometimes cultural relations for a long history. But when we look now of the possibility to develop, I think that the royal tours in 2010 years has opened the possibility to be a part of the dynamic of Africa as a continent. And it is very, very, very hard for the companies to be implanted in these countries, because there is no experience. It is another culture, Anglo-Saxon or Lusitanian culture. It is also a problem to access to these countries. Yeah, the infrastructural problem is most important. It's more important than in comparison with Senegal or Mali and the countries in the proximity. And you have the risk is very high in these countries. Political risk, administrative risk, and I think that security and political risk persist in many of these countries in Central Africa and in some countries of in the core of Africa. Mm-hmm. Several companies of Moroccan companies when they are interviewed about why they can take these opportunities for the large market in these countries, they highlight that the security risk for human resources and facilities is the first point. And they say that the risk is very high, and it may be a reason for sometimes quitting a project. Among the measures put in place by the Moroccan state to manage this risk, we can mention the agreement with the countries, the agreement to secure transaction, to secure investment in these countries, and but companies, I think that we have two or three examples in Nigeria that security is concerned had obliged some enterprise to leave the project. And the second reason, I think, notably in Corn Africa, Sudan, Somalia, and so on, the risk of Kenya also, the risk of political instability is also present. In the sector, with the main sponsor are the public authorities. You can have some investment because it is based on cooperation, but for private enterprise, notably on the construction sector, which is very sensitive to this risk. And there is evidence that the project in some of this country is very, very, very risky. You have also in these countries administrative risks. I mean that delays in administrative procedures, legal and tax difficulty to implement the announced tax provisions, and so on. Look, several risks can be considered as constraints to have an opportunity in these countries. But when it is a public enterprise, like OCP in phosphate or fertilizers, we know that we have many structural projects, big projects in fertilizers in Ethiopia and maybe in Kenya in the future, in Rwanda, and so on. Also, I think that the legal support to cover the risk of private companies in Morocco is not very, 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 very developed. We have a public corporate that cover some assurance risk, assurance for the risk, but it doesn't work very, very well in the perception of the companies there is insufficient cover, risk coverage in this country. How Morocco can play a triangular role? The example of China is a big example. But in Morocco, I think that we have an experience in many sectors of infrastructure. Electrification, irrigation and water, construction of road, and so on. But I think that the big problem is how to finance this project, and how to have link between the contribution of aid or European or international bank, and to mobilize the assistant, technical assistant, and human resource assistant, which is very, very, very high in Morocco, and we have an experience in those. So the comparison with China is not the same, because China can mobilize all the canals, financial canal, resource canal, political canals to be in the negotiation to state. But for Morocco, it is a second player, and he wants to offer its public assistance to public experience, but he wants also to be accompanied by private and local enterprise and financial aid or canal by the international bank or the international aid.
Thank you very much. I think that covered the answers. Thanks to both of the presenters for taking on and the questions that Anna has put forward. Some of the I had a question about risk, but I think you've covered it pretty adequately. Maybe I can just add a point on that, which is a sort of question about first movers. By that, I mean companies that are the first actors who go into a relatively unknown, maybe a country outside of the comfort zone, as you call it. and I wonder, are these companies encouraged by the state? Is it usually state-owned companies that do it, or is it more private entrepreneurs who are the risk takers? That in your experience or your knowledge,
we have the two figures. We have some companies that are accompanied by the public institutions. I mean, assurance for bank and so on, and credit for the state for some operation or for some project. But we have the startup or the little enterprise, small and middle enterprise, that are in research of a risk cover of the risk, but which is very well managed and anticipate the risk, and maybe they have a relationship in the countries. They create some alliance. They go in to joint venture operation with other private companies, local companies in the countries.
Yes, that makes sense, to mitigate risk and sort of take advantage of networks and all of that. Yeah, thank you. I see we have a number of questions, so I will start with the first one. So I think this is to the group as a whole, from Eshwar Kara. Morocco's fiscal commitments to the world continuously increase, but with the arrival of the pandemic, Will Morocco be able to keep up with these commitments? Because according to the World Bank, the deficit due to, I suppose the deficit in Morocco is due to the pandemic, has reached 7.8 of GDP in 2020. So what is the impact of the pandemic on its commitments to the world? But I think we're focused especially on the African side of this. I will ask Latifa first, since you were the first speaker, and then pass it on from there to Barabi.
I think that Morocco was impacted by the pandemic as all countries in the world. Morocco fiscal commitment to the world continues increase, but I think that our fiscal commitment does not be continue to increase even the impact of the crisis, but I think that Mr. Jaidi has more information about that and about the report of World Bank. I propose to ask to second question if you agree, Chris, about...
Go ahead, sorry.
About if there is any conflict between Africa Free Trade Agreement and ECOWAS for Morocco.
Go ahead.
I think that in my view there is no conflict. There is any disposition in FTA that not allowed Morocco to have regional agreements. I think that the project to have an agreement with ECOWAS and to enter this regional area is still on the table. But what we observe effectively is that integration of Morocco with ECOWAS continue and is reinforced more and more, and the project that I talk about in the beginning of my presentation show that integration to ECOWAS is also a strategic choice of Morocco, and it will continue in the future. But in the side of legal, aspects agreement, I think we have to wait and ask to Moroccan authorities about that. The legal agenda we have to check with Moroccan authorities in charge of negotiations.
Thank you. Larabi, do you want to add further comments or address the first and anything on the second question as well?
Yes, I think that the pandemic crisis has demonstrated that Morocco has a capacity to have a capacity to manage this crisis with efficacy. I mean that actually, I think that Morocco is the among the first nations in the world that vaccines or the effective of population vaccine is very large. I think about 30% of all the population. And it is not significant that we are out of the crisis, because the uncertainty is always present. And the pandemic is a very troubled situation now with the new variants and so on. But besides this, the management of the efficiency management of this crisis, I think that Morocco has also taken in account the necessity to reinforce solidarity, national solidarity, by providing aid to vulnerable population and by providing aid to enterprise to assure the transition between the situation of pandemic and the issue of the crisis. And I think that even if the deficit of finance public is around now 8 and 9%, and the deficit of GDP for 2020 is about 6%. I think that the Moroccan authority or the Moroccan state has a new plan to react in face of this crisis. And our ambition, well, the ambition of the country, is to link between the solution of the urgency now, and to develop a vision for the future, in the future, the medium future. I know. So it is the responsibility of the Commission to propose to the King some orientation for a new model of development based on a new strategy, based on the finality to serve the Moroccan citizen and to reinforce the initiative of the enterprise to react to the obstacle, the administrative obstacle by the digital revolution, and so on, and to essentially to mobilize the young generation on the dynamic to the contribution of to enlarge the basic or the axis of creation of growth. This mobilization of Morocco's enterprise, Morocco's talents, who should be empowerment and whose capacities need to be strengthened in education and in health, in order to be to tackle the country's development challenges. And notably that when we know that we are in a world of increasing complexity and increasing uncertainty. We have proposed to the King and to all the political parties to debate on this new strategies, which the finality is really to have a vision of medium term. Why? Because Morocco in the recent past has always some sectorial strategic plan in agriculture, in industry, in numeric, in and so on, in social protection and so on, but we lack for a global vision with coordination of the choice, with priorities to be clear for all the parties, for the enterprise, and to to consolidate the loyal competition in the economy between the enterprise and to leave the situation of rent that are present in some sectors. It is the real main idea of this model is to liberalize energy and to have a vision for the future. And Africa was a continent that the potential is very large and very big. And we have some proposition to reinforce the strategy to be a partner of Africa and not to look at Africa as only a market, as only an opportunity. It is an opportunity for Morocco to consolidate its economy by a real partnership between in alliance with some countries, and to be open, and Africa to be open on the world, and to negotiate a better position in the new international relations, and become really an actor as it can be.
Thank you. I know that some of that was speaking to some of the concerns that Anna had. Did you have any follow-up comments you wanted to make? You don't have to, but I just wanted to give you that opportunity. Okay, great. We have only a little bit of time, so we've got two last questions that were posted. Or a collection of questions. I'm going to summarize them, and if we can be relatively brief, that would be great. One of them is about Morocco's fast-growing economy, the degree to which conflict in the Western Sahara is a part of that, has a relationship to that, rather. And then how does Morocco related to also other fast-growing African countries, like Ghana and Gabon, how does Morocco plan to reach out or engage with them? A second questioner asked this, whether Morocco's own economic challenges, domestic politics, and current state of relations with Europe is its economic policy toward, given, I suppose, given Morocco's own economic challenges, domestic politics, and current state of relations with Europe, is Morocco's economic forum policy towards Africa viable? Can we talk about materializing a commitment to South-South cooperation? So if I'm distributing the questions to the presenters, and so if you can step in as you see fit, perhaps in this case let Larabi start, and then Latifa can follow on that point.
Okay, I think that we have to develop our bilateral relation in Africa. We have this project of African free trade, but it's not contradictory with developing bilateral relations. And with Gabon, I think that we have a long relations with this country. Relationship, partnership in trade and in investment. And for Ghana, I think that well, I don't remember the date really, but for in the last decade, the relation with Ghana has in a new road, a new perspective, because in the past Ghana is an Anglophone country, and we have not a relation, very cultural relation, and very very deep relation with Ghana, but in the last decade, Ghana the political relation with Ghana in the last past wasn't very, 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 very strong, because the position of Ghana on the Sahara question and so. But in the last decade, I think that there is a real tournant, coming, as we said in French, a new road, and the commercial relation is in development. We have some projects in construction, in housing, and in mining. I think some Moroccan enterprise are present in Ghana, but there is a great potential, and the possibility to reinforce this relation are very, very high, I think, in the future. For the relation with Europe, you know that Europe now is present a new strategy to Mediterranean countries and to African countries for a new partnership. This new partnership is based on the new strategy of Europe, based on digital, on development of new energy, renewed energy, and the development of what we know it. I don't remember the term exactly. It is a new framework for really develop a new partnership, not based only the question of the security of the relation, migration and stability and so on, but in real capacity to create a value chain on agriculture, on industry, on services between Africa and Europe. And it is a new challenge. But the question is that Europe has until now three frameworks in its vision to cooperation with Africa. The first one is with the South Mediterranean countries. The second is the free trade with the REC in Africa, the new partnership. And the third is the dialogue politic as all with all the countries in Africa in the summit. And you have another framework is with the Cotonou, the post-Cotonou agreement. So I think that to consolidate the relation between Africa and Europe in a vision to continent to continent, we have to the African country as well as the European countries and the EU have to rationalize this framework of cooperation, rationalize in the vision, common vision, and in the use of the disponibility of resources, and to have a cap to develop people relation, people to people, and enterprise to enterprise, because in the international relation now, we can't establish a framework to develop relation between administration. We have to take in account the role that private sector and non-governmental actors have to play in this vision of cooperation.
Thank you so much. Latifa, do you have something you would like to add to that?
Yes, thank you. Yes, I want just to add that European Union is first economic partner of Morocco until now. More than 16% of our trade is with European Union. European Union is first investor in Morocco now, but Morocco has chosen to diversify its partners. More than 20 years ago, Morocco is setting up other strategic partnership with other country and region in the world, with America, with some Asian countries, and with UK recently after the Brexit, and Africa. And the strategy of Morocco is to diversify its partner and to work closely with all these partners. Concerning question about if our strategy and approach of sort with Africa is reality or still at the level of the conception, I think that our webinar now shows that this it is a reality. Our strategy for Africa is a reality. We our trade and our investment with Africa grow and are growing more and more. Morocco is now investors in African countries, Moroccan companies are becoming African companies. Are establishing their production in Africa, so we can show that our approach and our strategy, South cooperation, is a reality. I want to just to add one idea, Chris, if we have time. I believe that the first challenge for Africa now is execution. We have agreements, we have a free trade area, we have many projects, but we need the countries, regional organization need more and more efforts to execute rapidly on our strategy to seize opportunities that Africa present today. Thank you.
Thank you for that very good reminder that it's beyond plans. It's about implementation, and indeed, it's been a tremendously interesting presentations and discussion we've had here. I really appreciate our presenters, Latifa, Larabi, and our discussant, Anna, for joining us today to help open up this topic, to give the LSE audience and our shared audience a vision of what is going on, the dynamism that indeed is taking place. And I look forward to working with our colleagues at the Center for the New South on future such ventures. I wish everyone a very wonderful rest of the evening, and for our friend in Singapore, a very good night, as it were. And thank you again, audience, for joining us. Thank you for this day. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you so much.
Thank you.